Hey everyone, welcome to the Balanced Dietitian podcast. I am your host, Marie-Pierre, and for all my English friends out there, you can call me Marie. I am a registered dietitian with a background in psychology. My passion in life is to help individuals heal their relationship with food and their bodies. If you're tired of dieting and tired of restriction, you are at the right place. I'm hoping that this podcast will help and support you as you heal your own relationship with food and your body, and give you the tools, the resources, and the knowledge that you need to finally ditch the diets. Every week, you will be hearing from guest experts and myself on all things food, body, and mind. I am so happy that you're here, and I cannot wait to support you on your journey. Let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome to the Balanced Dietitian podcast. How are you doing today? Thank you so much for being here and for taking the time to listen. I feel so grateful that, you know, you're here with me every week, or if the first time that you listen to this, that you're taking this time to be here with us. Today we have a really fun episode and one of the most requested topics. Today we are going to talk about PCOS outside of diet culture. So if you don't know what PCOS is, it's polycystic ovarian syndrome. It is something that many women are struggling with. And unfortunately, it's one of these illness that diet culture has very much targeted. So I thought it was really cool to bring an expert on this subject. And today we have Julie Dufy Dion, who's going to be talking to us about PCOS. So Julie is a non-diet registered dietitian, eating disorder specialist, and a food behavior expert. She is so wonderful. She's definitely someone that I look up to, a wonderful dietitian who's made a huge impact in the non-diet community. So I'm really pumped to have her on the podcast this week. She actually has her own podcast, which I was able to be a guest on a few weeks ago, which is super exciting. So you can check that out on the Love Food podcast. And she also offers courses on PCOS. So without further ado, let's welcome Julie to the podcast. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Balanced Dietitian podcast. Julie is here with us today. I am so excited to have you on the podcast. Hello, yay. Julie.
Hey, it's so nice to be here talking with you. Thank you. I'm so excited to talk.
I am so excited to talk to you. And I think the subject today is something that the audience will really love and appreciate. I get tons of questions on PCOS, so why not bring in the expert?
Oh, thanks. Oh yeah, I love talking about PCOS. So let's get to it.
So for people who may be listening here who don't know who you are, do you mind telling us a little bit about you and how you got to do this work?
Yeah. So, I'm a registered dietitian. And oftentimes when I think about my career as a dietitian, I think about it as either before the big sob or after the big sob. I don't know if you've heard my sob story before, but a number of years ago, I was called to my boss's office and I sobbed in her office. And what happened is the day before, I was teaching a class. And so in this particular job, I worked in an outpatient nutrition clinic, and I helped people with eating disorders individually, helping them recover. And I also helped people lose weight. And I helped people who were trying to assess if they wanted to look into weight loss surgery. And I also helped people with an unnamed diet that was horrible that sold products to go with it. And this like unnamed diet was something that brought in a lot of income to our center. And so all the dietitians there had to be a part of teaching classes for it. And this company gave us templates for each class. And since I was at the time, I had just finished my training to become a counselor. And so they're like, oh, you're a dietitian and you have training in counseling, you're going to teach the body image mm-hmm. class. And so I started teaching this class, trying to follow the outline. And I was 3 minutes into this like 30-minute class on accepting your body. There's no good or bad foods. But I'm like, they are literally paying thousands of dollars to get these fake foods from this company. And I'm telling them from this company, like they should accept their body and eat all the foods. And I just couldn't do the class. So 3 minutes in, I dismissed it and said, you know, so class is over for today. And a bunch of people complained because they paid for a 30-minute class. And so my boss called me into the office and I sobbed and I was like, listen, I can't do this anymore. I'm like, I'm telling one person one thing and I'm telling someone else like the other. And one person, I'm like kind of like helping them to feel better about themselves and to have more freedom with food. But the other person, I'm telling them to keep torturing themselves. And like, it just doesn't fit in my brain anymore. And my boss was like, hey, you know, as dietitians, we have to wear many different hats, some we like and some we don't. But in order to keep the job, you need to wear all the hats. And I was like, I guess that means I have to wear these hats. Like, I guess I have to keep doing this. And it was horrible to think that I had to keep doing this, like teaching people how to lose weight. And thankfully, I got a call the next day from a dietitian in my town who was like, hey, I'm moving to the coast. What's your fax number so I can send you all my clients? I was like, oh, well, hello, universe. Thank you for providing. So I was like, that's it. I'm going to take this as a sign. I'm going to leave this job and take a really big risk. I'm not ready to open a private practice, but I'm never going to put someone on a diet again. And so it was painful, but it also was a really important moment for me. It's when I really, I mean, I was probably still on the fence for a little while after that, like a lot of us who do a lot of anti-diet work, where I was kind of like, I don't know, probably teaching people the intuitive eating diet instead of really intuitive eating and things like that. But it was like the moment where I really said goodbye to helping people lose weight. And I haven't put anyone on a diet since then. And from there, that's when I also happened to start seeing a lot of people with PCOS. And because I was in this place of like, I'm not putting anyone on a diet ever again. I'm like, well, then what do I do with PCOS? Because if like we look through our like books and stuff that we were trained in as dietitians, that's all it says is like, put people on diets, treat it like diabetes. I'm like, well, diets don't work for most people. So why would they work for PCOS? And so I felt like really, like I just looked on the internet and this was in 2005. So it's not like I had like, I don't know, Facebook groups to ask. So I just looked and looked for a good like couple years to find someone to help me to figure out a way to help someone. And eventually I did connect with a clinician. Her name was Monica Woolsey. And she helped me to just look at how to help people with PCOS without the focus on weight loss. And yeah, so that basically brought me to a place of like, helping people with PCOS without diets to basically reclaim expert role of their body and like burn all their diet books. Let's do this. I'm like, let's get the match, light them on fire. And so many tools that we have to help people with PCOS without having to like torture yourself with food and exercise. And so, yeah, I feel like it's like an honor and a privilege to meet with people with PCOS, to share some of these things. And then really then helping people to rally with other people with PCOS to change the way PCOS care is. And so yeah, that's my story. And it's been quite a ride.
Yeah. And I love that so much. Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. And we'll definitely dive into PCOS, but I love this transition. And I think it allows us to have so much compassion for ourselves or to others to know that like, if you were not born anti-diet, it's totally, totally okay. Like whether you're a clinician or even, you know, just a person living in diet culture, I know a lot of people who go through this healing journey then kind of feel like an asshole for like, oh fuck, I used to be that person who was a dieter or promoted diets. And I think it's just part of the transition that we all go through. So thank you so much for sharing that. And yay that you were able to make that transition. Wonderful.
And I always feel like so much compassion for those who may be listening who are in a similar job and can't leave. Like that moment for me coincided with a lot of privilege. Like I was in the process of getting married. And so I was able, I live in the US, so we don't have healthcare that you could just get without having a job. And so I was able to join his healthcare plan. And so there was just like all these things just crash at the right moment to allow it to happen. But there's a lot of people who have to keep doing those, have to keep wearing those hats in order to have like healthcare and income and to keep themselves afloat. So anyone in that space, sending lots of compassion. Yeah.
So much compassion. Yeah. So let's dive a little bit deeper into the PCOS world. Because I was like, wait, did I say it properly? Yes, PCOS. Yes. I don't know. Like the letters scrambled in my head there. because I find like that's one of the diagnoses that like diet culture has very much like targeted to be like, you PCOS, like let me shame all of it. So before I guess we talk more about like the nutrition piece of it and how someone can support themselves through it, what is PCOS for those of people who are listening who are like, I don't know what you guys are talking about?
Yeah. And there's going to be somebody who's listening who by the end of the episode is going to be scheduling an appointment with their doctor because they're going to say like, I think I have that. So that always happens. But polycystic ovarian syndrome is an endocrine disorder that starts in the brain, and it results into a set of symptoms that promote a hormonal imbalance. And it's a really honestly like ambiguous type of condition, because to get diagnosed with it, it's a diagnosis of exclusion, and people have to get diagnosed with the 2 out of 3 criteria from the Rotterdam criteria. And those three are irregular or absent periods, signs of high androgen levels like testosterone or DHEA. And the last one is evidence of cysts on the ovaries. So remember, somebody just needs 2 out of 3 of those. So someone could literally not have any cysts on their ovaries and have polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is just, I don't know, kind of a fun Trivial Pursuit. I don't know if you ever played that game, Trivial Pursuit question. good trivia question. And so what ends up happening is some people will have a set of symptoms that somebody else with PCOS won't have. And so it can look different, but it is something that a lot of people are told that they caused. And I want to make sure I set the record straight. It is a condition that is passed down through families. So it's inherited. It's not something that a person causes by weight gain or what they ate or what they did. It's something that, it's passed down through families.
Yeah. And thank you so much for saying that, because I know a lot of my clients, and it's probably going to resonate with people who are listening, that they feel like it's their fault. Like we are often blamed for those types of conditions, right? PCOS or diabetes, that you're like, oh, it's because of what I eat and my body and how I move, and I could have avoided this. When the truth is that no, not necessarily.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's unfortunate. PCOS is a diet culture magnet. There's a lot of parts to the condition that kind of signal the cry of like, you must diet to control this. And what I have found is that dieting makes it so much worse. And things like diabetes are very similar in that way. And many people with PCOS end up having diabetes. It's the statistics currently that I've been reading is 50% of people with PCOS end up with diabetes by the time they're 40. Because it's, if you have a family history of diabetes and you have PCOS, there's a high likelihood that you'll have diabetes too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about how diet culture influences PCOS. And I guess we can start with like the common myth that someone with PCOS, like what is diet culture telling us? And let's like unpack a little bit of that. Cause like you say, like the fact that diets can actually make it worse, I think is something we need to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically the typical kind of process when someone is diagnosed with PCOS is the doctor tells them, well, here's birth control and you must focus on weight loss and cut out a particular macronutrient. and that's the only way that you can manage this condition forever. And some people with PCOS are in higher weight bodies and some people aren't. And so if someone is in a higher weight body, they're told that they have to lose weight to manage it. And then if they're not in a higher weight body, basically doctors are like, don't ever gain any weight. And so they're given a diet, and it's, and you know, the diets can range from so many different kinds, but it's really focusing on carbohydrates for the most part and restricting them, and then birth control. And the typical response after that is like, here are these two things, diet, birth control, come back when you're trying to get pregnant, which I hope you can appreciate like how problematic that is. Not only is it like, you know, here's a diet that we actually have no research on that helps most people with PCOS. We have lots of short-term research that any diet helps people with PCOS to like manage some of the hormonal imbalance. But even the 2018 evidence-based guidelines for PCOS management, it found that there were zero diets that have been shown to help most people with PCOS long-term manage the condition. And, but then it goes on to say, so just pick any. Like it literally says that. It's ridiculous. Shows how problematic the anti-fat bias is and then PCOS care. But so that's one part of it. But then also like just come back when you're trying to get pregnant. Well, not everyone with PCOS is going to want to get pregnant. Like, why are we assuming this? Hello, misogyny, you know? So, and also, like I said before, like it's a hormonal imbalance that starts in the brain. It doesn't start in the ovaries. For some people, the ovaries are affected. You know, those hormones involved in that, but like there's so many other parts of the body that are affected by it too. So it ends up just like dismissing anything else as important. Like you're only important because you're of your ovaries.
Yeah.
So yeah, my feminist hat is snugly on when I hear these kind of things, but that is really honestly like the most typical diagnosis interaction.
Yeah, 100%. Like some of the stuff that I've heard so many times, there is definitely this piece of like, oh, it only matters if you're going to try to get pregnant. And then women are like, oh, okay. Like, so wait, what? Unless I'm trying to get pregnant, then this condition doesn't matter. Like it just kind of super, super odd. And then this piece with carbohydrates and having to cut off carbs because insulin resistance and like, that's what you need to do, which for a lot of women would lead to like with any other conditions or just diets in general to be super restrictive, which know the long-term effect of restriction, that is not great. So I think in this piece of this type of just big recommendations of just diet, just lose weight, just do this is not effective and harmful actually. Like it causes
really harmful.
Tons of harm.
Yeah. And you know, something I didn't mention that is a really big piece of all this is for most people with PCOS, they do have high circulating insulin levels. Not everyone, but most. I mean, there's estimations of 75 to 95% of people with PCOS have high insulin levels. And what ends up happening from that are these really intense carb cravings. And that's honestly, as a dietitian, I wonder if you're the same way, like that's how I ended up really working with a lot of people with PCOS is that they thought that they were binge eating or addicted to food or out of control of food. Or they just had these really intense cravings and they didn't know what to do about them. And they felt really ashamed of the cravings. And what I've come to appreciate is these high circulating insulin levels, even without restriction, they promote this like primal urge to eat carbohydrate because the body is not able to use carbohydrate for energy because insulin's not able to be the little doorman to open the cell to let the glucose in. It's like the system's not working. So the body's trying to save itself. And so it sends it to like the primal side of our brain, like hurry the F up and get some carbohydrate, that loaf of bread, all of it now. And then the one group that people are told to cut out is carbohydrate. And so on top of the already these primal cravings, and my clients would, when they were teaching me about PCOS, they were, I mean, they basically like, it felt like I was going to die. Like literally die if I did not eat them. And then of course, because of these primal kind of urges, like it's like drowning and getting to the top of the water, you know, and finally able to breathe, but like continuing to hold your breath. No, you wouldn't do that. You'd gasp for air. And so like finally eating the carbohydrates, people would like try to restrict them because they thought that they had to, but it just was impossible. And then feeling so much shame because of that. And that's part of why diet culture is so harmful for PCOS is it puts on these expectations that you must restrict no matter what. And it's, you need to hurt, you know, you need to like be gasping for breath basically all the time in order to control this forever. And so then people think I'm broken. I can't do this. And of course, then also like people stop going to the doctor then because they're not able to do it. So I'm really like really want to change this part of PCOS healthcare. Like, we need to really get the focus off of weight loss and dieting, because it's literally keeping people from going to the doctor for decades, like literally decades. People will not. And so of course, yeah, people are not going to be well because they're not getting healthcare, you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, total soapbox for me.
No, but it's like literally so important to talk about, because it's this idea of like weight stigma and like the shame cycle that then you don't want to get help because every time you go, you get shamed. Mm-hmm. And it's, I love that you mentioned that, because I think a lot of people can resonate too, like this idea that we need just use your willpower and motivation mm-hmm. to like restrict, when it's literally your biology fighting for you, being like, you need food, I'm going to save you. Like, your body's literally just doing its job. Like, it's just trying to help you. But then we're trying to use like our frontal lobe to be like, but no, just use like, you know, this willpower that you need to have. And like, I like this comparison to breathing. Like, you've just been holding your breath, but like, keep holding your breath longer because it's inadequate to breathe.
Yeah. Your body would not let you continue to hold your breath.
No,
right? It wouldn't let you.
No, you'd faint. It's the same with food.
Right. Yeah. Your body's like, no, we're going to live. Come on.
Yeah.
Same with food. It's the same thing. Yeah.
No, 100%. And like, again, thank you so much for sharing that. So when we think about diet culture attacking PCOS, so I think a big thing that we've also talked about is just this weight loss piece, this idea that in order to control PCOS and to get better, you need to lose weight. Can we unpack that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. This is where, like, you know, remember my life before and after the sob, like as I was like moving away from the sob experience and building my own practice. And I appreciate looking back that I was still on the fence a little bit about, like, I think I still had a belief that if people binge less or ate less, eventually their weight would go down. And what PCOS taught me is that calories in, calories out. Yeah, that is totally not, like, that's not an equation that our body, especially people with PCOS, that ends up working out. And I say this because I have seen way too many people in the throes of anorexia and restricting with like such low amounts of nutrition and not losing weight. And part of why that happens with PCOS is because, again, there's these high circulating insulin levels. It ends up being a hormone that helps the body like maintain storage, because it's not wanting to lose weight, because it's like, we're not able to like utilize the nutrition we're getting, like we're starving. So I'm not going to use this either. And so people end up, you know, again, in throes of anorexia, but since their weight is not that low, it's like they are off the radar. You know, nobody really is thinking that they're not well, but I've worked with enough people who are higher weight restricting, and their heart rates are in the 40s because they are malnourished and no one knows. And so that was something that took too long for me to really appreciate, but working with PCOS really helped me to get that. And so what my clients taught me is that they would be doing what their doctors told them to do, you know, following whatever diet they recommended, and weight wouldn't go down. Or they would be doing the same like Weight Watchers or something like that, like with their friends, and their friend would lose weight, but they would not. And they're like, I'm eating the same thing as my friend. We're doing the same exercises together. She's losing a ton and I'm not losing anything. And that happens all the time. And that's a part, again, because of PCOS. So the part of it is the insulin, but then for many people too, they also have these high circulating androgens, which leads to more dense muscles. And so again, like the scale doesn't budge, like it just doesn't happen. And so that's part of it. It just, not only does it not work for most people, the whole calories in, calories out, it like double doesn't work for PCOS. And what ends up happening is that people try so hard. And I know I'm like recalling so many conversations I've had over the last 20 years where people will say like, yeah, my doctor told me to limit my whatever to this, and I'm doing half that. Like, they didn't even ask what I'm eating, and they're like getting even less. And that's still not providing these kind of results. And so, you know, for you and me, we know that means people are really not well, like if they're that malnourished for that long. And so it makes people sick. You know, if someone's heart rate's in the 40s, that's a really scary thing. Like, you need to go like immediately to the hospital. Like that's not something you mess around with. So, I don't know. I'm like even trying to remember what your initial question was, but like, but PCOS and weight loss, like the push for it, those are the big things that like I think about is like, or just like, are you asked about the diet culture myths, you know, that, you know, if you work hard enough, eventually it would lead to success or this ideal. And
yeah, so I think it's like this recommendation that weight loss is the thing to do is again, just like very harmful because one, not only, like you said, like in general population, currently there's zero evidence that any type of diet will weight loss. So we're literally setting people to fail. But then, like you said, like with PCOS, there's these added things happening in their body that just makes it really hard. Mm-hmm. So when we give this advice of weight loss, which is very much like lazy medicine, I'm like, oh, I don't really know what you should do. So like trying to lose weight, it's super, super harmful because people can't, and it's not because they're not trying,
right?
Because they cannot. So it just seems like this global recommendation of just try to lose weight to like manage your hormones and your PCOS, it just doesn't work, and it's actually more harmful. So I think just like unpacking that is just really great for people to understand that if you are in that space and have not been able to lose weight, that it's kind of normal,
you know? Yeah, and that's kind of like the short-term part of it. Can I dive in a little deeper too into like the harm of dieting? Cause like, you know, cause there's a lot of diets and people have their own evidence. Like, yeah, when I went on whatever diet, my insulin levels did come down, or I had a period for the first time. I was able to get pregnant, or I did lose weight. But it's like only for a few weeks, maybe a few months. And what we have connected in research, and I will say like, there's a very limited amount of long-term data with PCOS and dieting. There's lots of 6-week and 12-week duration research studies on PCOS, and the sample sizes are so small, like so incredibly small. It's ridiculous that like it's been recommended to so many people based on like 30 subjects. You know, like there's like one diet that's often recommended and only, I think it's like less than 30 people have actually been studied on it. And they're like 12-week studies. But anyway, one thing we know from the general population is that long-term dieting or chronic dieting, whether you stay on it the whole time or you go on and off a diet, that is something that causes higher insulin levels. So if you have PCOS, you're already going to have issues with insulin. So we know from the general population that it's going to make insulin worse. So good, easy to assume that would happen to people with PCOS too. And then the other one is long-term dieting also is something that has a causal relationship with inflammation. And inflammation is something we haven't talked about on this show yet, but like inflammation is something that people with PCOS are experiencing as well. Inflammation is a huge diet culture magnet as well. But you know, people with PCOS are, when they study the like environment of the body and people with PCOS, there's this chronic pro-inflammatory state that they are typically seeing. And so inflammation, the reason why we talk about it so much is it has a connection to disease like diabetes, you know, but long-term dieting causes more inflammation. Okay. So that's two things. The third is that dieting also is something that's connected to a change in the gut microbiome. And, you know, a lot of people with PCOS have IBS, and just are like, my stomach is always messed up. They're either constipated or have diarrhea or both. And, I'm kind of wondering how much of that is because of the push to diet. There's like so much restriction going on that it ends up altering the gut microbiome, and that takes years to recover, the gut bacteria and everything. And then, another part is that with PCOS, we do have some research that weight cycling predicts binge eating. So the more someone is going on and off diets, the more likely that they binge eat. And like, there's one study that even found that almost 70% of the sample of the people studied had at least met one criteria for binge eating disorder, and 30% met full criteria for binge eating disorder. So that's a lot. That's a lot. Like, what if your dieting is behind your complicated relationship with food? Not you, not the PCOS, but it's the dieting. But the biggest of all, like the thing that I think is the most like problematic part of dieting with PCOS, and we kind of already touched on this, is like how it basically prevents people from accessing healthcare. That's going to make people not as healthy. And it contributes to like systemic oppression of people. Like fat people with PCOS are going to be worse off health-wise and emotionally because of these recommendations. You know, it's like, it's leading to discrimination of people, which we also know, you know, contributes to higher insulin levels and higher inflammation and all that stuff. So it's like, we got to stop being jerk faces here. Like, yeah. And, you know, really acknowledge how anti-fat bias is hurting people with PCOS.
I love that you mentioned all that, just breaking down the harm of dieting when you have PCOS, like so many harms in general population and all of these added harms when you have PCOS. Like, I think it's so important to unpack that. So I can imagine someone listening to this conversation, they're like, okay, I hear you guys, you're talking about like all the things not to do, but then what the fuck do I do?
I know, what the fuck do I do now?
Am I stuck with this? Am I going to be like, what's going on? So if we were to change a little bit this, the trajectory of this conversation, talk about like, all right, so someone who has PCOS, like, what can we look at? What if dieting is not the way, if weight loss is very harmful recommendation, what do we
do? So this is a really common question, you know, because when I'm on like Instagram and talking about this kind of stuff, I always get DMs where people are like, yeah, but what if I actually like need to lose weight, or what do I actually do then? Like, is it just then I do nothing? And that's a part of how diet culture has really fucked this up, because it's making it such a like all or nothing. And, there's a framework that I use to help people with PCOS to kind of unlock how you in particular can, basically rewrite your relationship with food. And so many people with PCOS tell me that they have like no energy, they don't feel connected in their body, they feel like powerless. And there's, you know, really learning about what PCOS is and what it actually hormonally is doing in your body, you know, finding resources that are non-diet that to help explain your physiology is really, really important. And understanding like the what's behind these cravings, and then learning non-diet tools. Like there's supplements, there's things you can add food-wise, there's things you can do with your self-care that make a huge impact and all that. And then also like in order to really contribute to like unlocking food peace for you, you have to also like realize that there's a lot of people out there who don't have access to healthcare, who don't have access to support. Like we all need to rally together to help other people who have less access to make sure like no one gets left behind, basically. And I think about how, you know, before the big sob in my boss's office, I thought so much of nutrition interventions were individual. Like an individual could change it. And now I can't say like right after the sob I got this, because it's really like almost 20 years since that. And I am just really starting to appreciate how we are all interconnected. And it's through that connection that we can help people liberate from all this shit that we've been talking about. And so it's remembering that like you're not in this alone, and we all need to like link arms together and help everyone and fill your toolbox with resources that are gonna you can add instead of restrict, you know, using that kind of frame of reference instead of like I need to limit this, I need to restrict this, instead thinking, okay, what can I add to my life? Is it more boundaries, better sleep? You know, we didn't talk about sleep at all, but sleep's a big part of PCOS, and like managing sleep is really important. Getting enough rest, even if it's not just sleep, you know, adding things into your life to help instead of focusing on taking things away.
Yeah, I love that so much. So I love the piece of breaking down the all or nothing that we're often stuck in when we are part of diet culture, right? You're eating, doing this, or if not, like, fuck it, we don't care anymore.
Yes.
Which is not the case, right? A lot of people think when you're choosing not to diet that it means, you know, maybe like giving up, or it means that we don't care about our health, which there's actually a third door.
There's actually
care of ourselves without this like system of oppression. There's actually ways that we can reconnect to ourselves. So I love that you mentioned that, that like choosing not to diet and not to like shame ourselves and try to shrink our bodies does not mean that we're like not caring, not doing anything anymore. There's so many other ways that we can learn to take care of ourselves and learn to reconnect. But then also the piece that it's not just individual work. Like, and this is why like anti-diet, it's such a social justice movement that it's not just like one person that's going to change the system, because it's the system that's broken. It's not you that's broken. So it's like seeing it as like this bigger issue. So I love that you've added that in this, the piece with community, and like, we're all in this together and supporting one another through this as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It for sure. I know so many people say like, as an individual, one is not liberated until everyone is. So yeah. And that PCOS, the thing that to keep in mind, because so many people will tell me as they're trying to like learn how to reject diets while living with PCOS, how they feel like this, it's this like passive kind of thing, or people are telling them, oh, you know, I wish you were trying harder to take care of your health, or they're getting kind of that message. But what I appreciate and what I witness other people doing as they're rejecting diets is it's like a very active process. It's not something a person is just like then being not ever participating, because rejecting diets is an active thing. And I do a lot of work and projects with Laura Burns, and she is a yoga teacher that has PCOS. And she talks a lot about how she feels like she has to constantly swim against stream in order to be able to like continue her recovery. She's recovering from an eating disorder. And so if she did stop and was like passive, she knows like she would just like be pushed right back into it. And sometimes people can't, you know, actively be a part of it. And I want to just acknowledge that, like, some people just can't. And so they'll get swept back in, and I have compassion for that place too. Like, it doesn't make you a bad person and just a product of this really shitty diet culture. But yeah, like in order to like move through and reject diets, it's something that is a very exhausting repair process. And it's like repairing into a world who hasn't even acknowledged its own eating disorder yet. So
yeah,
it's not like you're just, you know, into this vacuum that is free. It's like, yeah, it hasn't even figured it out yet.
Yeah, it's so funny that you mentioned that, because as part of the group program that I run, there's a participant who literally said that yesterday, was like, I kept feeling like doing this work was giving up. And she's like, I haven't worked this hard in a really long time.
Yes, exactly.
There's so much work in the healing process and the reconnection. But what's very different and cool about this work is that it's not coming from a shameful place, and it's long lasting, right? Like, once you reconnect to yourself, like, it doesn't, you're not starting a new diet every Monday and like running after the next best thing, because you are it, right? Which is super cool.
It is. It is really cool, for sure.
That is awesome. Okay, last question for you before we get into our fun questions. I'm curious about the carb cravings. I think a lot of people can relate to this. And when we've talked about this idea of like, it's literally your body pushing you to have carbs because it's trying to save you and make sure that you're okay. Someone going through that, and it can feel extremely, like you said, like out of control, really like icky. How can we manage that? What tips do you have for listeners who are going through that?
Yeah. You know, I think it's really important to, and I say this like knowing that this is such an easy thing to say, but to weave into your daily life can take a lot of time and gentleness, but to keep in mind that these cravings are a message from your body, a sign that your PCOS needs something. And it's going to depend on some different factors, but it's not something that is that you're doing anything wrong or you ate the wrong thing. It's an acknowledgement from your body that it has an unmet need. And one of the best things you can do when you notice cravings happening is first satisfy the craving, you know, like get yourself nourished, satisfy the craving as much as you can. Sometimes they may be insatiable. But as you notice them happening, try to like take a step back. In the throes of a craving, you can't do that. Like, I can't imagine a human being able to like, while gasping for air, like, let me take a step back and figure out why I can't breathe right now. You know, no, you get all your air and you're like, okay, what just happened? And so I would say the same with cravings, is like, take a step back And one of the biggest, most important, the first step is make sure you're actually eating enough. And you probably are not, because I think, especially those of us who have been socialized as women and girls, like we are taught that we don't need very much. And there's like a calorie amount that's always recommended or a carb amount that's always recommended. And that's not enough. So like you probably are not eating enough. And that's always the first step when I work with people. When I worked with them one-on-one, I was like, let's make sure you're actually eating enough. And most of the time people were not. And sometimes they were maybe there, almost there, but they didn't have permission to eat enough. And that's a big part of this too. Like we need unconditional permission to eat. And that may be almost like a pie in the sky kind of goal because of living in diet culture, but continuing to challenge, like, do I actually have permission to eat this right now? And for most of the time, we're going to have little pieces that are not lacking permission, but that's also a contributor to those cravings. So that's one part of it. And as people are kind of repairing their relationship with food and getting closer to eating the amount of food that they need, cravings can change and can become more specific based on sleep, stress. There can be certain foods that people may need to add more of, supplements, medications. It can be so many different components. And that's a big part of my framework, is like helping people to like step through all of those and experiment with like, okay, what is my body telling me? And eventually it'll be like this kind of fast track message system. So when you have a craving, you'd be like, ooh, what's up? Something's going on. Like I need something. And as I say this, like everybody has cravings. So it's not like they go away. It's those primal ones that I'm talking about, like the ones that are different. Those can be, again, a really important sign from like the PCOS management system in your brain that like, hey, we need something from you. You know, yeah. You just missed your medication the last few days, or you forgot to refill the prescription of your metformin or something, you know? Yeah. And like, oh yeah, I forgot. So
I love that so much. You're like, you're seeing it as a sign without judgment, instead of like shaming yourself. Like I shouldn't feel this way. It's like, oh, hello body. Like what do we need now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think for people with PCOS, like, cause like people without it will have similar kind of nudges, but it'll be more of a nudge, you know, yeah. It'll be kind of like this, like hankering, you know, and maybe an obsession, but for people with PCOS, it'll be primal and intense. And again, like I said before, it'll feel like I'm going to die if I don't get it. So it's, you can't miss it. You know, yeah. Other people without PCOS, they can kind of like, you know, just push it away.
Put it over. Yeah. And I love this idea too, of like, we underestimate how much food we need based on our
food. Oh yeah. Don't you agree? Like most people think
100%. Like it's just this idea that we need so little food when like our bodies are so expensive to keep alive. Like we need.
Yes. People. And that's a compliment, right? We're so expensive to keep alive. Yes. Yeah, like, I love that.
Good.
I think it was Summer Inanen who said, she said, grown-ass women need to eat way more than they think. Like basically, like if you're gonna be a grown-up, like, and you want to, you know, make some change in this world, you're gonna need more than you think to eat.
Yeah.
So I love when she said that.
100%. I love that so much. And I just wanted to add in there quickly, and then we'll move on. But I just love this idea of like unconditional permission to eat, because I think it's such a different message that people, especially with PCOS, are hearing, in terms of like, you get to have permission. You have permission. You have to allow yourself all these foods. So it's not coming from like, you need to restrict and lose weight. It's like, no. We need to make sure that it fits and that you have permission and you get to listen and choose, right? So I think a lot of people who hear that at first, and I don't know if you've had that in your experience too, like, the first thought is like, weight gain. What's going to happen if I have all the permission? And like, I can't.
Let them eat cake? What? Oh, no.
And it's such a normal feeling, I think, because we're so being told like restrict and control. So when you're being like, hey, I trust you and you can trust you too, right? You're allowed to have all this permission. Mm-hmm. But there's like uncomfortable feeling of like,
And I think that's like the normal trajectory as people are moving away from diets. And those of us who have been like studying and working in the intuitive eating space, like that, we know that's like the common, like first kind of like step in the process. And I also think it's like a big barrier for people who are on their like individually trying to learn how to recover from diet culture. It's like, if they're doing it solo, that can be something that can be kind of like exciting, but also so scary. And it's like a part of it that can be temporary, especially if you have help along the way. So
yeah, I love that so much. Thank you so much for being here and sharing.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No, of course. I think people are going to get a lot from this. So before we get into our fun question, let us know, where can people find you? How can they work with you if they're interested in getting more information about PCOS and how to work at it from a non-diet way? Mm-hmm. Where can they find you?
So the best place to find all the stuff is my website, juliedillonrd.com. And I have a podcast too. So if you like listening to podcasts, check out Love Food. And it's a podcast for people with PCOS and also people without it who have a complicated relationship with food. And then I have a course for people with PCOS, and it's called PCOS and Food Peace. And if you go to that website, you can connect with it. And as you're listening to this live, in another week, there is going to be a sale on it, a 30% off sale through the month of September, because September is PCOS Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. I don't have the coupon code handy. I don't know what I'm going to have it as yet, because as of this recording, I'm like, oh gosh, I don't have it ready. So what you can do is go to juliedillonrd.com and sign up for my email list, and you'll get it as soon as I post it. And so yeah, definitely check that out. And something that I'm really excited about is I'm actually going to be kind of like turning up the dial and changing around my food piece course for people with PCOS to make it into a group program. And so that's something that I'll be launching in the spring. So keep an eye out for that too.
That is so awesome. And everything will be in the show notes, so you guys can just go there directly. And if by the time this is posted, the coupon code, if you have it, I'll just post it in there.
Oh, too. Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate that.
There we go. All the information in one spot. Awesome. So let's go into our fun questions. The first one, which is like the best question ever. What is your favorite food?
Oh my gosh, my favorite food. These are actually hard for me.
It's like the hardest question for a dietitian. I feel like everybody's like, what? I have to pick one.
Oh, it's probably French fries with mayonnaise.
Yes. I'm so down for mayo and French fries.
Yes. It's not typical in the US. I'm like the weirdo, but I hate ketchup. I don't like it. So mayonnaise is my jam. And so French fries with mayonnaise, lots of salt. Yeah.
That sounds wonderful. Yes. Awesome. If you could have a superpower, what would it be?
I would be flying. Yeah.
Love
for
it.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever awesome. I have dreams where I'm flying, I'm like, this is so awesome. So
love it. What is your favorite way to self-care?
Saying no.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably I just said a big no a couple of days ago and it felt fucking fantastic. They didn't always feel fantastic because there's like layers of guilt. And like, oh my gosh, I'm like, am I going to stop getting asked? But I was like, no, this feels good. Cause I've never regretted a no. I've regretted a lot of yeses. So yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, I love that so much. I think that's something that we can all learn.
Yeah, me too. I have to re-listen to this just to remind myself. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. And like last question, because this is a Balanced Dietitian podcast. What does balance mean to you?
Balance means compassion for when I am having a hard time and being in the moment to slow it down and figure out what I need.
I love that so much.
Yeah. Thank you again. Giving myself advice basically right now.
Yeah. You're like, be my own therapist.
I mean, that's what my therapist taught me to do, right? So thanks, Helen.
I love that so much. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you again so much for being here. You're such a wonderful human being. And I'm just
thank you. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. It's an honor to be on your show.
wasn't this podcast just amazing? Julie is so wonderful, and I feel so honored that she came on the podcast to share her knowledge with us. So I hope you got a lot from this conversation. And then if you are someone who has PCOS or thinks that may have PCOS, I would highly recommend you go connect with Julie, get to know her a little bit more and how she can support you through this. I think getting someone who is anti-diet and weight inclusive is extremely important to have the best care, especially in PCOS. So on that note, my friend, I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode. I also wanted to let you know that the program is now open for enrollment. So we have revised the program and it's now open for you to join. So if you are ready to do the unlearning work, to heal your relationship with food and your body, to get to a place where you can eat whatever you want without guilt, so you can stop overthinking about food and just feel good in your body, this may be for you. So you can go check the link in the show notes or go to www.thebalancepractice.com/program to get more information to see if this can be for you. There's no best time than right now to start the healing process because you, my friend, deserve it. On that note, I hope you have a great day and I will catch you in the next episode.